Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Listening to SOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. You're listening to SOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to SOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the February 15th, 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we're going to be studying the Word of God. We have a very serious lesson this morning for very serious times. Our message this morning is entitled, The Lost Confession. The Lost Confession. We are going to be examining the confession of Christianity, and we are going to be preparing our hearts to have the faith to endure unto the end in this fight that we're in. And that is indeed what we're going to do. And as we do, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive the word with the time of worship. Worship the Lord with us. Then we're going to be back with our message this morning, The Lost Confession.
Tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea. Now I'm coming home. That Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I need his cleansing blood, I know. Now I'm coming home. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Gary emailed us and said he's struggling with sickness. Brother Gary Fowler up in New York. Our prayers are with him and with all of those that are battling whatever you're battling this morning. And if you're in the fight, you're battling something, I guarantee you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together this morning. And Lord, we thank you so much for each and every one that's gathered together this morning to hear your word and to lift up your holy name. Lord, our prayers this morning are with Brother Gary, that you strengthen him. And all of those this morning that are struggling with sickness, Father, we just pray your healing touch would quicken them this morning. And Lord, quicken our hearts to receive your word. Lord, help Donna this morning to keep everything running smoothly. And Lord, help me to bring forth your word in clarity and truth. And Lord, just anoint the ears of each and every one of our listeners to receive that which truly comes from your Holy Spirit. We give you the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to begin with reading the third verse of, from the Epistle of Jude. Our lesson this morning is on the lost confession. And a lot of people would probably wonder, well, what even is that? And we're going to be examining this most important issue this morning. In Jude, the third verse, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And if our Lord's half-brother had to write this in the first century, that even then they had to fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, how much more we in this hour, that we have to fight to make sure that that which we believe and proclaim is indeed biblical and the historic faith of the Christian church. And this morning we're going to be looking not only at the Word of God, but we're going to be looking at church history. We're going to be looking at the writers of the first, second, and third century and examining just what they had to say about the confession that a Christian must profess and that they must maintain. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, The apostle said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And American churchgoers have absolutely no time for the doctrines that belong unto salvation, because it disrupts their life. It disrupts the worldview that they want to maintain. But the big problem with that is that the doctrines of salvation are the doctrines of salvation. They are the teachings that are given to us in Scripture and by the Lord, by which we are to be saved. And people that ignore those things are going to ignore them to their eternal damnation. And we want to read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, probably one of the most important salvation scriptures. There's not a passage that sums up salvation any better than these three verses from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Let's read Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And I want you to notice in this verse 9 that there are three tenses here. There's a present tense, there's a past tense, and a future tense. Now notice that as I read, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, present tense, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, past tense, thou shalt be saved, future tense. We believe now and confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord, that he died on the cross as the payment for our sin debt, and then we shall be saved in the future. Now, the church today, and I use that term generically of the American churchianity, they have absolutely confused justification with salvation. And one of the things that the new apostate Bible translations do is that they do away with doctrinal terms. And by blurring the lines over doctrinal terms, the devil is able to work his devilment in the hearts and minds of people. And we are justified the moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross as payment for our sin debt. But salvation, as we see here in Romans 10 and 9, thou shalt be saved in the future. Salvation is not complete, as Yogi Berra would say, it's not over until the fat lady sings. And that's the way salvation is. Salvation is not over and complete until we die and go to be with the Lord, or the Lord returns. And I think this morning it's quite possible that some of us, or even all of us, could live until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now, in verse 10, the two aspects that must be maintained to be saved is brought forth. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There must be a genuine belief in the heart of that which Christ did on the cross, and a genuine surrender of the heart to that, to the Lordship of Christ. And also, there must be a confession made with the mouth. This begins when a believer is baptized. Our confession is made to the world of that which has taken place in our heart. And that confession that Jesus is our Lord must be maintained for salvation to be maintained. Salvation in the future is dependent upon us continuing our belief in the heart and our confession with our mouth. If either our belief in the heart or our confession with the mouth is stopped, our salvation, we fall from the state of grace. Now, this is something that is so clear in the Word of God, and it's something that's so clear in the history of the church, and it's been, for all intents and purposes, it has been completely lost. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, I want to read two scriptures from the doctrine of Christ. And if a person has not received the doctrine of Christ, you're in darkness for all intents and purposes. The doctrine of Christ is his doctrine, his teaching. And if you are not interpreting everything in the Word of God by the doctrine of Christ, you're going to go wrong. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Jesus said, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Salvation depends on us maintaining our belief in the heart and our confession with our mouths unto the end. And what happens, we might say, if our confession is not maintained? Well, let's read what Jesus said in the doctrine of Christ, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, the confession. Today we are bombarded. We have bright lights, and he's nothing but a rank apostate. John MacArthur is teaching that people not only can deny Jesus, but John MacArthur is actually teaching that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. And there's just nothing, how in the world can these men get a following like they do and teach such things that are so outright ridiculous? Now, what I'm going to do this morning, I am going to call upon the testimony of Christians from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century in extra-biblical writings. We're going to have the Word of God, but we're also going to look at church history. And in the church, in the Council of Nicaea, I believe it was AD 325 in the 4th century, after Nicaea and Constantine with his Edict of Milan, he flooded the church with baptized pagans. And that's basically what we have today in America. We have churches full of baptized pagans. But before Nicaea, in the first three centuries of the Christian church and into the first part of the fourth century, the church was dynamic. It was a church filled with people that understood what it meant to confess Christ. And for a Christian in those before Nicaea to confess Christ, they knew and they understood that to do so might cost them not only their property but their life. Now, I want to read a statement from Justin Martyr. And why do you think they called him Justin Martyr? Yeah, you got it. And these men we're reading about this morning, they sealed their faith with their blood, just like the men that gave us the Word of God. All except the Apostle John, they sealed the Word of God we read with their very blood. Now, this is what Justin Martyr said. And he was in the second century, one of the second century writers. And he, of course, like all these men, they were not pre-tribbers. But this is what he said. "He shall come from heaven with glory when the man of apostasy, whose speech speaks strange things against the Most High, shall venture to do unlawful deeds on the earth against us Christians." And instead of telling people that you're going to be taken out of the earth in a phony baloney pre-trib rapture, that you won't have to worry about suffering anything, and oh, by the way, even if you do take the mark of the beast, that's going to be fine. These people knew and understood that not only are you going to go through the tribulation, but if in the tribulation you deny the Lord, you are going to be lost. Because Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father." Justin Martyr goes on to say this, "Now it is evident that no one can terrify or subdue us who have believed in Jesus over all the world. For it is plain that though beheaded and crucified and thrown to wild beasts and chains and fire and all other kinds of torture, we do not give up our confession. But the more such things happen, the more do others, and in larger numbers, become faithful and worshipers of God through the name of Jesus. It was the confession of early Christians in the face of all opposition, threats, and torture that caused the church to grow despite all of the persecution. And this morning, it is needful that we arm ourselves with the faith that was once delivered unto the saints and determine in our hearts and minds that this morning we are going to maintain our confession through this tribulation that's coming. And this is not something that is far removed from us. Just yesterday, there were 21 Coptic Christians martyred by ISIS. Martyrdom, there have been deeply moving stories. One was of a young girl, 10 years old. She gave her life for Christ and died a martyr's death rather than deny the Lord and convert to Islam. And this is something that's not far removed from us. It could become a reality before this year's out. Very well possibly could. It's happening now, and it's coming our way, whether we like it or not. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, there's a scripture that's just absolutely plain as day. If you miss this, you just have to twist it to your own destruction. Just as the doctrine of Christ, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Our confession with the mouth and belief in the heart must continue for salvation to become a fact in the future. I want to read from a man by the name of Ignatius. Ignatius was the second bishop of the church in Antioch. He was appointed the bishop in 69 AD. This was 1 year before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And as we studied Bible manuscripts, if you might remember, I said that the true received text is sometimes called the Antiochian manuscript because Antioch was the center of the early manuscript translations. The Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. The Bible tells us that Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the elders in Antioch on their missionary mission. And for somebody in AD 69 to be appointed the head of this church, this was the head of Gentile Christianity. It gives you an idea of the stature of this man. And he went on to be one of the leading apostles in the second century. But in Ignatius, and he also died a martyr in about 110 AD, but in his letter to the church in Smyrna, and Smyrna was the church where Polycarp was the apostle, and he also died a martyr's death. But this is what he said, and this is in his epistle to the Smyrnans, chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm going to read into the first chapter 5, the first verse. He said, "Why have I given myself up to death, to fire, to sword, to beast, but near the sword is near God, with the beast is with God. Only in the name of Jesus Christ I am enduring all things in order to suffer with him, and the perfect man himself empowers me. There are some who are ignorant of him and deny him, or rather have been denied by him. They are advocates of death rather than truth." And then as now, there were those that thought it was perfectly okay to deny the Lord, that this was not a problem. And one such man today is Charles Stanley. And I want to read Charles Stanley's comments on this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in his book, Eternal Security, Charles Stanley actually gives this very scripture. And this scripture, let me read it again, 2 Timothy 2:12. It says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And it was universally believed in the church in the first three centuries and into about the first quarter of the fourth. Every one of them believed that if you denied Christ, you would be lost. And that if you died a martyr, that you would receive the martyr's crown. They all believed that. But listen to what Charles Stanley gets out of that scripture. On verse 93 in his book, Eternal Security, this is what he says. "The apostle's meaning is evident. If a believer, for all practical purposes, becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy. Christ will remain faithful." So we've gone from Ignatius saying that if you deny him, that you're the merchant of death, and how he, that's not his exact words, that you are a minister of death, in other words. And on the next page, Charles Stanley says, "Christ will not deny an unbelieving Christian." Now, what in the world is an unbelieving Christian? A Christian are those that have faith in Jesus. But Stanley says you can deny him and you can even stop believing in him. Christ will not deny an unbelieving Christian his or her salvation, because to do so would be to deny himself. Now, how in the world can anybody get that out of 2 Timothy 2:12? This is an example of twisting the Word of God to the 100th degree. These men are truly ministers of death, ministers of Satan that are setting people up for a fall. And people that follow these men, they are going to get their just deserts, because the Word of God and the men and the women that died in those first three centuries to give us the heritage and the Word of God, there is nothing more blasphemous against God or the true saints of Jesus Christ than these lies that are being perpetrated on a daily basis by Stanley, MacArthur, and dozens other just like them. Now, let's go to the Word of God. And we want to examine what the Word of God says about salvation. And we need to understand that salvation is not justification. We are justified the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, but we are only saved when we endure to the end, maintaining our belief in the heart and our confession with the mouth until we either die or go to be with the Lord when He returns. Now, it's proper for a Christian to say now that I am saved, that I am being saved, and that I will be saved. And it's not that I doubt right now that I'm saved, but I know and understand, just like Jesus said, I have to endure unto the end, not only with my belief in the heart, but with my confession in the mouth. Now let's read Ephesians 2 and 5. Ephesians 2 and 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved," right now. So it's proper this morning for me to say, I'm saved. In Ephesians 2, 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's right and proper for me to say that I am saved. It's also right and proper and needful to understand that I am being saved. I am in the process of salvation, which means the biblical word for that is sanctification. Now, let's read Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We maintain our belief, and we are in the process of believing to the saving of our soul. So it's right and proper for me to say I'm saved and that I am being saved. I am believing unto the saving of my soul. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Let's read that second part of that verse again. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we submit ourselves to the sanctification process of God, where He irons the wrinkles out of our life, and He goes, we continue to believe, and this results in salvation. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and I could read a dozen scriptures like this, but we'll give two. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let's read that again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When the Lord returns, or we pass from this earth in death, then our salvation process is complete, not before. And in Romans chapter 13, we'll read this scripture. And as I say, I could read many scriptures that bear this out. I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Salvation and justification are two different things. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and knowing that the time, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen, Brother Paul. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And the Word of God speaks in many places that while we are now saved, that salvation process is not complete until we leave this world. Now, we're going to take our first break this morning, and our only break, but we're going to be back with so much more this morning. We're going to be showing from the Word of God and from the testimony of the early Christians that the confession of the Lord is something of the utmost importance. And indeed, I think you'll have to agree, the confession of the church has been lost, and it has been replaced with slimy, satanic slop that's going to take people's souls into perdition that follow these lies. Now, we'll be back with a lot more on
2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come with as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
Among you,
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com. God.